This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good
morning.
Good morning,
Mr. Ellis.
Hi.
This is Jephthah Ince here.
Yes, Mr. Ince.
Yes, I'm calling with some, if I would call it, queries about the Barbados Optimal Savings Scheme. Mm. Now, many of us would know, and we have to face the fact, government do have financial challenges. The world do have economic and financial challenges. And we would be fools not to recognize that. So, but my position is that we went through a restructuring program. And those bonds, that through that restructuring program, government went to Parliament and legislated the interest rates as well as the schedules for the bond, for the debt restructuring. So you had individuals and some institutions in the first schedule, and then you had a second schedule that were also some individuals and institutions. And to do a quick synopsis, some of those persons would have been holding bonds that are going to mature 30 years from the date, September 18th, some 26 years, and some is like 50 years. And so that is there already in the financial industry.
You mean the presence of bonds?
The presence of bonds.
Yeah, but remember, these bonds are now being offered on top of those for the specific purpose.
So that is I'm going to get to that. So what would happen, Mr. Ennis? I thought that, I wasn't at the meetings. I said I'm not there. But my experience and understanding of the bond industry, I thought the government would have said, because persons are uncomfortable. Right now, the bond industry, the interest rates on bonds are declining. I heard you made a statement that was, I think you should repeat it again, about, I think it was last year when you did the business report in the morning, the direction of the bond industry, when the restructuring was going on. I think that you should look for that and review it again. Most bonds are no short term. But here in Barbados, we have what you call a homogeneous environment, means you're going to the same people, to the same institutions. So I thought what they would have offered would be, in the initial stages, to reduce, if you want to say that, the amount that you would ask public servants for, you would do what you call a differential interest rate swap at the back end. And when I say the back end, I mean from the long end of the bonds. Those persons that are holding bonds that are going to mature 26 years from now, 30 years from now, they are uncomfortable, and most of them are the banks and the credit unions. And the credit unions make up about, if I'm correct, there are those persons who can call and correct me. Credit unions in Barbados make up about 95% public servants. I don't have the statistics, but that's just my opinion, that they make about 95%. So if you had done what you call an interest rate swap at the back end to free up those persons, and what do I mean? You have 4%. For example, you have the schedule that was laid in Parliament goes all up to Schedule G. And Schedule G have bonds that are going to mature 50 years from now, paying 8%. So what do I mean? You say, okay, I am offering you 4.
Offering you who?
I'm offering this current bond is 4%. But
this is 5. This one is 5%.
5%.
Yeah.
But the persons that are holding those long-term bonds, 26 and 30 years, that's going to mature 50 years, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a swap. 5%, 8%, you have a differential of 3. But I'm going to bring you forward with that principle. So those persons who are, it would be in the 15 to 20-year range, you wipe out all of that. Now, I would expect government would have a sinking fund, with funds put in the site to redeem these, because in the next couple of years, they're going to have to look for money.
Isn't this, but seriously, I thought that this was largely aimed at trying to cut the government's bill first and foremost. I don't see how what you are proposing would address the primary concern which the government has, which is...
Yes, David.
Let's show me how.
Let me tell you how it's going to address the concern.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, going to the back, and what you are saying to the persons that are holding these long-term bonds, I'm going to bring you forward. So with an interest rate struck, you don't have to pay. The government don't have to now look for those the other interests that are going to mature further down the road. You're going to bring them forward to a 15 or 20 year. The persons that who now has to pay, let's say, in Schedule B, that are 15, they will go forward to 10 and bring along the principal with them. So government will have to look now to pay. What government would do now, it says, look, now that we do not have to pay you on what you would call that long-term bond, we would like you, or you get the ink that having the financials to say, okay, fine, I had on my books $7 million, and I'm going to explain it. $7 million to mature 16 years from now. So you know what I'm going to do? Since you made me that offer, and you have now given me breathing space down the road,
what are you
and
do
remove the level of uncertainty,
mm-hmm.
I am going to give you $3.5 million up front, and I'm going to hold the next 3.5 for 15 years.
You're going to give...
That is in simple terms.
You're going to give it to the $3.5 million to the government?
To the government. To the government. So that's why I'm saying, because the government have given me some breathing space. So I believe if the government has given me breathing space through the swap, it would be the right thing for me to do is to give them also some breathing space. So what is going to happen is that if that is accepted, you now have the opportunity, you have breathing space now at the back end, because the 30-year bonds are not, you're not going to have that anymore. Government have now given you breathing space with the swap. The persons now at the front end that I have to look for money for, example, the persons that holding the 3.75,
okay,
that in 15 years, the difference between 4% and 3.75 is 2.5. So you have now to only pay 2.5.
Well, you know, all of these figures and working out a plan right here on air, you know, it's difficult for anybody to follow that in detail, because, you know, at the end of the day, the devil is in the detail, and therefore, if you have a plan, perhaps you should document that particular idea and see where you can take it for further discussion. I mean, we can't refine it here.
Let me say
to you and even to Caswell, who is still on the line, when you look at why the government, this is how the government responds to the question of why are public servants alone being asked to participate in the program. The answer coming from the government is this: the entire country is participating. Public servants are participating as primary savers investors, because not only is it an opportunity for the public servant to save by paying the worker a portion of his salary in bonds, it frees up the exact amount in cash for the government to invest in its capital program to generate jobs. Note that this is not new, as private companies sometimes offer workers shares in the company as an investment opportunity, and also to grow the company. The rest of the country is also participating by standing ready to purchase any bonds that public servants may wish to sell, and thereby helping to support the development of a secondary bond market.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
This is my position. You currently have institutions in Barbados and individuals who are holding government bonds through the restructuring that are going to mature 26 and 30 years from now.
Yeah, you shared that.
You are going to go back to them. How are you going to go back to them when you already have the back end of the bonds loaded? You're loaded. You're going to the front end now to load it again. How are you going to go back to banks? You think a bank manager could convince his board or a credit union analyst to take bonds?
But he getting
fight.
But the difference is that he's able to benefit from getting the interest on this bond in a much shorter period. I think it's 18 months or something like that.
No, David, it says that the bond is going, you are going to get interest, but your bond is going to mature 4 years from inception.
Okay,
date.
Four years, but at the end of the day, that is much shorter than the kind of bondholder that you're talking about.
But the simple reason for that is that you currently have individuals who have 3.75 for 15 years.
All right.
Don't have, and if you were to do that initial swap, you would now bring them, you would now bring their principal to the board. When I say to the board, to the government, they now have their principal available that they can roll over.
Well, as I said to you, any idea such as the one that you are putting on the table needs to be properly discussed.
Yeah,
I don't know.
As I said, it can't be discussed over. I'm just.
Have you put that idea anywhere?
No, I haven't put it anywhere. I say it just is a concern because when I heard Dr. Kevin Greene says that whether or not the public servants accept it, it is going to go through. It bothered me to call the program. It bothered me because I'm saying to him, if you are going to use that type of language, then float a bond and ask the central bank to take it up. Because what they are doing, David, they are printing money in reverse.
Well.
They are printing money in reverse. So go to the central bank and ask, because the banks in Barbados are not going to take it.
Well, there's at least one economist in the country who suggested that the government should print money.
They'll print the money.
So if they're printing it in reverse, well, perhaps that is just... It is consistent with at least one view that says this is one way out of the crisis.
Yeah, we're printing money, David.
Mm-mm.
Government have to. I don't know why it is. You see what happens when you're in opposition? You have to be careful. I don't know why it is that people in Barbados believe governments like Barbados, we have to print money to run the country. I am not one against you.
We
don't have the resources.
You know that there's a limit to that.
Yes, there is a limit.
The concern we've had in the past when you were an advisor on these matters, the concern was that, you know, you went way beyond what was reasonable. And every independent commentator thought that what was being done was dangerous.
David, Mr. Ellis.
Yes. And when I say independent commentators, I'm talking about the IMF, I'm talking about Moody's and Standard and Poor's and them people, so I'm talking about the opposition people.
Mr. Ellis, I asked one question during that debate. I said to the persons that were saying that, bring the analysis and showed me how much money did the Democratic Labour Party print while in office and compared it to now the Barbados Labour Party in office.
Under the IMF program, as I understand it, under the IMF program, the government has been restricted. While the government has admitted that there's been some, it makes the point that this is drastically reduced from where it used to be before. Do you have proof to the contrary?
I haven't done any analysis.
Okay.
So doing a comparative analysis, that's what I will do, and I will call you.
All right.
Do a comparative analysis of how much money was printed on the Democratic Labour Party,
right.
How much no, and let us do it. But what I'm saying, not to move away from
We
got to move on. But what I'm saying, David, it is going to be difficult for the government to sell this bond issue to the credit unions and the banks in Barbados.
We'll wait and see. All right. Thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks. We still have with us on the line Caswell Franklin. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Alice, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, and you?
My boy answered good, because you got Caswell on, and the man that gave me some food there that I don't know she was give me an upset stomach.
You need to cook your own food.
Well,
if you live the way that you talk on this calling program, you are risking your life when you let somebody else cook for you.
Man, no, I tell the madam not the boy. She give me some food.
Well, whoever.
Anyhow, I glad that Caswell, you know, because I tell you the truth, the food is like we got here from this paper, confused. Now, first thing, there's two things I want to do. Mr. Franklin, are you still there? Are you hearing me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Now, tell me what is the purpose of Mr. Greenwich in the island when you got the big gurus of Mr. Ranstron, Mr. Passad, Mr. Maskell, and so is Ms. Gallagher.
Whose call is that?
But I want to know because
the call is the Prime Minister's call. So in those circumstances, it's the Prime Minister who should be...
Will you let Mr. Franklin answer?
Well, he can answer, but I tell you that in all fairness, it is the Prime Minister's call. And it is the Prime Minister who really, if you want to put somebody on the defensive on that, it is the Prime Minister. However, if you believe that asking Mr. Franklin will give you the kind of answer that will make your food go down better, by all means, let Mr. Franklin answer.
Mr. Franklin, I want you to answer that for me.
Well, this is my view. I could only give my view. Mr. Greenidge is an IMF expert. When we wanted to go to the IMF, we had some person who would design an IMF program who knows how the IMF works. And he was the man who was able to design the program that the IMF would accept without much fanfare. That is why the program that we have, the Ernie and Bert program that we have,
Sesame Street program,
is the fastest program that has ever been approved by the IMF, because here is an expert in the IMF knowing what the IMF would be asking for, and he did one better. So the IMF could not have refused what they are putting forward, because this program is even more punitive than the IMF would have imposed on us. You see, so he helped to stop Barbados from negotiating a better deal because he knew exactly what the IMF could not refuse. That's all it was.
All right, that is one. Now, Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
This is for you now. I want Mr. Franklin. He could get going. I want to about a few years ago when you had two gentlemen in the office dealing with price gouging. And a gentleman called you and tell you that he got bills and so forth and he brought in the bills. Do you remember that day a few years ago?
Not really.
Okay. Now, Mr. Ellis, I find that people talking about price gouging and that sort of thing. So, you know, you used to tell people do the homework. You agree? Now, you got a 1,000 kilogram of cheese selling to a market for $27, $28. One. But if you could go at the wholesale people and buy a case, you and some more people, which could cost $215 with 12 bucks in there, it work out at $17.92. The same thing for the tuna that is being sold at $3.75 in supermarkets, and you could get a case for $210, which work out at $252. Now, this thing about price gouging and going somewhere else and buying, I'm saying that you don't have to buy it alone. You and four people or five people can put together the money and buy. Now, this is for Mr. Franklin. No. Mr. Franklin?
Yes, sir.
Now, this program, the BOSS program, you familiar with the meeting term? Because that's what it was called. And it's still a meeting term. And if you know a meeting term, good, some people that give you money when it's due, and some people don't give you, like what we had a few years ago in the paper. So I agree with you that if the banks got the money, and whoever got the money, let them buy the bonds. Because I can see down the road, the people that put the money in these bonds aren't going to get another thing. And on top of that, Mr. Franklin, do you know there's a gentleman who called the program and said that civil servants' salary should be cut by 50%?
I heard him.
Good. You know that he left. And I find that these unions in this country is not looking out for the workers' interests anymore because they are, as Classic said in his calypso, they are in bed together. Mr. Ellis.
So you are suggesting that Mr. Franklin's union is what?
He will never be one. He's too straightforward. He ain't like you, David, that does dodge here and does John and dodge back.
Well, you know.
He says like it is.
Yeah, well.
Call a spade a spade. Yeah. And by the way.
Give me a break. You can't put down the air, man.
Oh, David. Women in this country that study women don't get the children. Put people to get children.
But come on. You know, it is. People cannot get children for various reasons. There are some people who would love to have children and have been unable to get any.
That's true. Listen,
how many die true? How many it isn't true? How you know it is not true?
I got the proof.
What proof you got? Look, let's move on, man.
No, David, let's
move on. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Yeah, morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yeah, morning.
Yeah, morning, Mr. Franklin.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I am well.
Right, I'm listening to you with some rap attention. I want to endorse a lot of your sentiments. Now, Mr. Ellis, I don't know what would be your view as regarding when I hear the amount of... I somehow, from government to government, I have a reservation and I'm harsh about just writing off of money, you know. And I like what you were saying a lot this morning. But some people will want to say that you are very, you shoot from the hip and you're whatever, whatever. But you're candid, flat-footed, and assertive. A lot of writing off, foolishness. If you go after all of that money, that is significant to any economy. So if they want to come and talk, let them talk about garnering that money first, and then after they could spell out how it should be used, then you will see if you need to, whatever. Well, let me ask another question here quickly. This all of this talk, I've been listening to it. I haven't gotten into it in any big way because there's a lot of for and against and a lot of figures and all kind of options. Is this thing overall optional? Is it that? You know, if I understand what optional means, I can take it or I can say, look, don't come around me with that. Is it like that or it is a clandestine kind of thing in between there that nobody's understanding or that or explaining? And before I go on to anything else, this thing very important I want to say, so I would want to get in that. But I listen to hear what you have to say. I'll touch a bit more on what you're saying and then finish on my final point.
It is not optional if you are saying to me, if I was depositing $2,500 for you and your salary in this month, next month I'm going to be depositing less, and then we'll be going to have some other document. It is not optional. You have just forced me into an illegal act that you've committed against me because you must pay me in legal tender. Legal tender is money that I can go down by cheap side and pay the vendors with. I can go in the market, and I can buy fish market, and I can buy fish. That is what legal tender is. And you cannot refuse legal tender. A bond, I can't take it down to the fish market and tell the lady, I want some fish, and here's my bond.
No, no, no. In all that I'm hearing also, I heard this even more recent, that is illegal. Illegal means against the law. So if it's a fact, you got all the legal luminaries and all the authorities in the country. If this is illegal, why prevail? Next question to you.
No, before
because
you
go, has the numbers that it can do what it likes, and then they make it legal, and they've been doing that.
So it's not. So you're saying now the government make it legal?
Look, government has an overwhelming majority in parliament.
I know, 30 seats.
If they want to do something, there's nobody to stop them, and that is the danger of having so many. Because a lot of this, you have to amend the Constitution. Because in order to take away people's property, you have to amend the Constitution. And money is property. And you cannot take away people's property without compensation. And a bond is not compensation, because compensation, as the courts in Barbados and elsewhere have defined it, is money.
I got something on the program last week. You remember they had a lady called Gladwyn Ophelia King?
She's a very good friend of mine.
Right. I asked that question last week in the light of all of this fury and all this cut loose. If it is something that is not legal or what have you, can it be taken to court and proven in a court of law? That's my question and closing on that. I'll say the other point after you comment.
I just wanted to make the point in relation to the question that you posed.
What was that?
The first question. Mm-hmm. The government insists that this is an optional program, that no gun is being placed before the head of a public servant to sign on to this program. And if the public servant does not want his or her salary put into a bond, that money which would normally be assigned to them in the form of a bond will then be bought by the central bank and sold to the private sector. So I need to make that point, because the way that Mr. Franklin answers it is not the way that the government has answered it, okay?
So he has shortchanged me?
No, he ain't shortchanged you. He has given you an answer as he sees it, and I'm seeking here to make sure that you hear that other side of it based upon what the government has said publicly.
So what I'm gleaning here now is that everybody could go to sleep tonight and know that when it comes to me, because they don't want to hear you, don't come around me with that, then they can do that. They can do that. That's what you're saying. Go sleep tonight comfortable, because when it's presented to you, you could say, I'm not interested in that.
That is exactly what the government has said. It's a four-year bond with a 5% interest rate per annum. The interest is paid semi-annually, and the principal in 4 years from the date of the bond. There will be no withholding tax on the interest earned. It is fully tradable. It is protected from any restructuring. And the persons who opt for it will have an early redemption feature to redeem through the central bank after 24 months of the date of issue. So that's the position that the government is projecting to the community on it, that it is not something that is being forced upon you.
Okay, I understand you. My take is, and the last point on this, now, is this is direct to Mr. Friend, we're going to my other thing close. Something is wrong in Barbados, tremendously, abhorrently wrong, about labor laws and how people are manipulating contractual this, and people are being manipulated left, right, and center, and nobody's coming to their defense. People taking workers and grinding them finer than any powder, and nobody is coming to the defense, and the authorities, people with good knowledge and know-how, say, that's right, we're doing it to them, but nobody's coming over and saying anything. I don't know, but I know a gentleman said saying the other day, he's a contractor, he says, when everything done, all of us can go 6 feet. No, my next point quickly, milk, eggs, chicken, fish, lettuce, and all the ground provision flowed back in from big companies that would be able to supply their own, whatever. We had the cases in the paper where a man dumped milk, eggs, somebody broke her eggs last week. They asked him to buy chicken at $10 now. All those fast food places, they're selling the same snack box and whatever, the same price, you know. The chicken price, they're asking him to come down. But still, you got to go. I don't know what's wrong with our people. It is like, I cringe when I hear certain things. Sorry about that. And that's it. You see? But anyhow, God is love. Mm-hmm. I regard y'all.
All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Brastax, hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Hello. Welcome.
Is this Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
My question will be short. I want to ask Mr. Calvin.
That's
when the union got a scenario against the government or any person, does it get their members together and put it to them to get a consensus before they go to negotiate?
Sir, I joined union in 1980. I became a member of the council of that union in 1982. I was a shop steward from 1980. And the way it has always been done is that you get your members to tell you what they want you to go and present to government. I have not seen it done this way before. This is a new approach. You know what I mean? I have not seen it done that way before. It is not the way unions operate. Union is the agent of the worker, because the workers cannot go there all by themselves and go on every worker, go and tell the government what we want. We get the union to do it for us. So we tell the union what we want done. Now,
the reason I ask that, sir, is because I find out it's much different down here than in England, because I was a regional convener in England for TC Telecommunication, and that what we usually do is get a consensus from the members, as you said. But as you said there, that it don't happen no more than this.
Sir,
so the authorities just go forward and do what...
So you asked a question that you knew the answer. You know, I was trained at the George Mini Center for Labor Studies. I was also trained at the ILO Training Institute in Turin. I was trained at the Barbados Workers Union Labor College and the World Workers Academy and UPW. And this is the way all of them taught me. So this is, well, people like using this new normal thing, but this is the new normal now.
I was trained at Isha College in Brunswick, so listen, I'm the top. Anyhow, I thank you for your answer, sir.
You're
Thanks
welcome.
Very much.
All right, thank you. Down to Brass Stacks, hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Yes, this is Kemar Stewart, the president of the Young Democrats.
Yeah.
Yes, good morning to Mr. Franklin and to you, Mr.
Good morning, sir.
Yes. I was calling in relation to make some comments about the BOSS program. Yesterday you had Dr. Kevin Greenwich on, and he was asked a question of, from a caller about 12:59 p.m. about government, if he was sure that government was not asked to reduce the wage bill. In Mr. Greenidge's answer, though, and I would just quote for him, he said, if there were issues with reducing the wage bill, it would have been told already and the information would have been in the public. Now, yes, the information has been out there in the IMF consultation reports, but there was not significant discussion surrounding the issue of the high wage bill in government. Now, particularly in December 2019, which the IMF issued its second review of the year, the government had a heavy focus on state-owned enterprises and new reforms, and they made mention of the fact that transfers to the SOEs were a big burden on the budget and a major contributor to the risk of the BERT program. And they agreed that by the end of financial year 2022, that the wage bill, the savings from the wage bill would have been approximately 0.3% of the GDP from 2019 financial year onward, which would stipulate to any onlooker or any person reading the report that there were previous arrangements to cut government's wage bill. Now, once we establish that, then we can go on to put BOSS into the context that it is. And we could see by the offerings of
when,
BOSS.
Before you go on, when you say government's wage bill, you're talking exclusively about central government, or are you talking about the central government and the statutory corporations? Because I think everybody who's been following this would know that there's long been concern about what's happening with the SOEs.
Yes.
So which one are you talking about, central government or SOEs? State-owned enterprises.
Central government has its focus as it relates to the wage bill and the SOEs as well.
So this is the general public service, as they call it.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we established the fact that there were previous arrangements to cut.
Yeah, that was not a secret.
Yes. Okay, so when we move on to the BOSS, what we are looking at is the fact that government is now attempting to move part of the salaries and wages out of its income statement and transfer it as a debt on its balance sheet, which would account for a future payment. While the idea of that is not totally bad, we must look at the considerations of the current situations of the people. So when you take things into consideration like inflation and then the average cost of living in Barbados, when the persons are paid their monies, it will be substantially reduced when they go through the BOSS program.
But that is if they agree, right? You see, in other words, if you have the option to say yes or no, and you look at your financial situation, and you decide that yes, I'm going to take this cut, then what is the problem?
Okay, from what I understand, coming from Dr. Greenidge, the program will go through regardless, yes or no. It's only you have the option after the fact, not before.
No, as I understand it, the individual has the option. You all are selling this as though it is something that you have no choice but to endure. And by the end of this whole process, a man will, or a woman for that matter, will find that towards the end of this month, their salary, they will go to the bank, the salary will be cut, they will get some of the cash in hand and the rest in bonds, and they ain't got no say. Is that your understanding of how it would work?
Not in totality of how you explain.
Not in totality. Which part of this is forced?
The idea that the government said that you have to go through the program, and then after the fact you can resell the bonds and reclaim your money. This was what was said by the government, not me.
You will have to go through the program. Tell me exactly where you have seen it couched in that kind of language. I would, because I have before me a lot of information which the government has sent to the media, to the public. And I don't know that I've seen anything like that. I've seen that you will have the option of determining whether you want to be in the program or not.
This relates to persons who are being paid below $36,000. These persons have the ability to opt in. But above that pay band, these persons do not necessarily have that option. That
where
option.
Is that? Where have you seen that? Where have you seen that?
This was in the document circulated about the BOSS program.
Well, I haven't seen it. All I need from you, I mean, is give me a specific page, because I may be missing something here.
Is that correct, Caswell?
Can I just say something, please? You must remember that this BOSS program, the name BOSS, is only a name change. What government intended to do initially was called force saving. It was a force saving exercise. That was not palatable, so they changed the name. They call it a national meeting turn. Same program. I know they call it a BOSS program. Same program. It's just a name change. It is force saving.
No. Because I can only say that what I heard was yes. Originally, it was force savings. Then a meeting turn, and then we were told that they went before the social partnership, and this whole concept was refined to the point where it is now optional and not forced.
The option comes after the fact and not before.
Well, I don't know that.
I am telling you for a fact. The option comes after. So
I would like you're not, since you don't sit in the government, the best that you can do for me is to go and find me a document and quote exactly where that has been said. Or, alternatively, paraphrase some comment that was made by someone and give me the specific quote where they've said that, because that's not my understanding of what has been said. That's not it. I mean, I read from this document here earlier. I'm just looking to find the specific point here, but it says this is not my understanding of it at all, that you're not going to be coerced into taking this program, because I like you, when the idea of force savings came up right here on the program, I felt that was going to be a very bad direction in which the government should go. I don't think that Barbadians at this stage want to have another situation where they feel as though they are being forced to take on a cut in salary or an increase in taxes and that sort of thing, you know. I mean, you've got enough coercion out there already, but, you know, people would be resentful of something that was done that way. And that is why, on the contrary, I get a lot more messages in here where people are actually saying, you know, it's something that they would consider, because they are not being forced to do it. That's their interpretation, is that they are not being forced to take it.